Okay, well, if you'll take your Bible now and turn with me at this time, we're in Matthew chapter 13 and verses 44 through 46. Matthew 13, verses 44 through 46. Our message series is called Parables of the Kingdom, and we are looking at seven parables of Jesus from this chapter, Matthew chapter 13. And all of these parables have something in common. They all teach us about the kingdom of God. And so far in our series, we've looked at the parable of the sower, we looked at the parable of the weeds, last week we looked at the parables of the mustard seed and the yeast, and today we're going to look at two more parables. Today we'll look at the parables of the treasure and the pearl. So we're in Matthew 13, starting at verse 44. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? Hear now the words of our Lord Jesus. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we want to open our hearts now to your word. These are some very beautiful and precious verses, and Lord, we need to take your word now deep into our heart. Holy Spirit, soften, open our hearts even now, that we may hear what you are saying to us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Have you ever found something worth losing everything for? Have you ever found something worth losing everything for? I know, such an easy question to start our message off with this morning. If you did, it would be amazing, wouldn't it? It would also have to be worth a lot. Sometimes we ask a related question. If your house were on fire and you could only grab one thing on the way out, what would you get? Rosie and I faced a similar situation during Hurricane Andrew back in 1992 when our house was breached and we had to pick something, anything, to throw in the dryer to keep it safe. We chose the wedding album at the time, okay? Have you ever found something worth losing everything for? That's the question raised by our two parables this morning. And these parables, the parables of the treasure and the pearl, these are twin parables. Remember last week we saw two other twin parables, the parables of the mustard seed and the yeast? But there's a difference. The twin parables of the mustard seed and the yeast, those parables, we looked at those last week, they taught us about what? They taught us about the growth of the kingdom, how the kingdom grows. But these twin parables of the treasure and the pearl teach us about the value of the kingdom. The value of the kingdom. Nothing is more important than the kingdom of God. Nothing has greater value than the kingdom of God. Have you found something worth losing everything for? Welcome to the parables of the treasure and the pearl. So let's take a look at the first parable, the parable of the treasure hidden in a field. And we find this one in verse 44. Here we go. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. I want you to remember, we've talked about what parables are. A parable is a brief story that makes a point. And we've learned that it's the whole story together that makes the point. So when you look at this parable, it's not just that the kingdom is like a treasure. It is like a treasure. But it's also, it's like a treasure that's hidden in a field. And it's not just like a treasure that's hidden in a field. It's like a treasure hidden in a field that a man finds and then he buries again. And then in his joy, he goes out and he sells everything he has to buy the field. You see, the whole story is important. So we want to look at the story together. There's three parts to the story. Let's look at each of those three parts together now. First, there's the finding of the treasure. The finding of the treasure. Now, at the beginning of this story, right, the treasure is not just lying right out in plain sight where anybody could see it. It is a hidden treasure. And that tells you something about the kingdom, doesn't it? The value of the kingdom is not always obvious to people at first. You know, they hear about God or Jesus or the church, but they do not realize how important, how essential, how necessary God is to their lives. So what happens, you know, they go day after day, week after week, year after year, without submitting themselves to God's rule in their life. Now, in our parable today, this person finds the treasure, right? And then what do? They went and they hid it again. People sometimes read that and they wonder, well, you know, was this ethical, what this person did? Was this okay? It's obviously not his field, right? So shouldn't he have told the owner of the field about the treasure? Well, we need a little cultural context. In those days, people often hid their money in the ground. Why? It was to guard against theft or invasions. Invasions of the land were common in those days. So, you know, you bury it, hide in the ground where nobody could find it. Sometimes the person who had hid the money died. When they died, the money was lost or forgotten. And that seems to be the case here. The story implies that the original owner who buried the treasure, they were no longer around to claim it. Whoever buried this treasure had either died or moved on. This was a treasure that had long ago been hidden and forgotten. And we know that it could not have belonged to the present owner of the field, right? If it did, he never would have sold the field, right? Or if he did sell the field, he'd go out and dig up his treasure first and then sell the field. What about the legalities surrounding this man who found the hidden treasure? Well, the law at that time said that the money belonged to the finder. Okay, the law said finders keepers. And so the treasure was legally his anyways just by finding it. However, he did not want to take any chances. And he gladly sold everything he had in order to buy the field and gain the treasure. When you think about it, that was actually far more honest of him than if he'd just taken the treasure without buying the field, right? I mean, he could have said, oh, treasure, run off with it. He said, no, put it back, bought the field, no questions. But the point is this. Remember, we need to focus on the point of the parable. The point is this. The man found something so valuable that he was willing to sell everything he had in order to gain it for himself. Once again, a parable, simple story, makes a point. Parable is not really focused on the legalities involved. It's simply making the point that, yes, there is such a thing as a treasure that is so valuable it is worth giving up everything you have in order to gain that treasure for yourself. So that's the first part of the story, finding hidden treasure. The second part of the story has to do with the joy of discovery. Jesus says when the man found the treasure, he hid it again, and then in his joy, he went and sold all he had and bought the field. Joy is such an important part of this story, right? The man does not go dutifully off to sell his possessions, but he does so at the sheer joy of discovering the treasure. He's not upset that he has to go and sell everything. In fact, he doesn't have to go and sell everything at all, right? He doesn't have to go and sell anything. Why does he do it? He does it because he wants to. He does it because he is glad to. He is so full of joy at the discovery of the treasure that he is glad to sell everything he has in order to obtain the treasure. And then the third part of the story that this leads us right into it, it focuses on total commitment. Notice the man in our story, he doesn't sell some of what he has in order to buy the field. He doesn't sell most of what he has in order to buy the field. No, he sells all that he has. And then he goes out and buys that field. Now, we need to be careful that we do not confuse this part of the parable with the whole idea of salvation by works or buying your way into the kingdom, okay? The Bible's really clear on this, right? You cannot buy salvation. Salvation is a free gift of God's grace. It's not something that you purchase. It's not something that you earn. And so Jesus is not teaching us here that you can buy your salvation. Okay, that would be missing the whole point of the parable. The idea here is simply this, that the treasure is so valuable. It's so valuable that it is worth everything to obtain. Now compare this to what Jesus said to the crowds in Luke chapter 14, verse 33. He said this, "Any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." And once again, it's not that we buy our way into the kingdom. No, rather it is that the kingdom is worth it. It is worth everything you have to follow Jesus. So Jesus shares the parable of the treasure, and then he immediately goes on to share the parable of the pearl. Look at this now, verses 45 and 46. He says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." Once again, you know, these parables are twins. You can tell, right? When you read one after another, they go together. They're meant to go together. They teach similar truths, but in different ways. In this parable of the pearl, this also has three parts. Let's take a look at each of those three parts now. The first part of this parable has to do with the search for ultimate value. The search for ultimate value. The merchant in this story, he's a person who travels for business. And this particular merchant, he's on a journey. Okay, he's on a quest. He is a pearl freak. Okay? He is looking, he is searching for fine pearls to purchase. Once again, some cultural context here. Pearls were considered the most valuable item in Jesus' day. They were more precious than silver or diamonds or gold. Jesus tells us the merchant is not just looking for pearls, he's looking for fine pearls, which means he's looking for beautiful pearls, the best pearls, the pearls of the highest quality and value. And so this part of the story represents what? It represents for us the search for ultimate value. And you know, the first part of this parable, it's a little different from the first part of the parable of the treasure, right? So remember, in the parable of the treasure, that guy wasn't looking at all, right? He just happened to find the treasure hidden in the field. And you know what? A lot of people are like that. They're not looking for God. They're not even thinking about God. When God suddenly just enters their life, he sweeps them off their feet. Think about the Apostle Paul in Scripture. What was Paul doing? He was on his way to arrest Christians when Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. Paul was not seeking Jesus at the time, but you know what? Jesus was seeking him. And a lot of times, people, they're not even looking for God. But God, in his goodness, reveals himself to them. But then you also have people like the merchant who are looking for God. They are searching for truth and meaning and purpose in life. They study different religions. They may even try some of them out as they desperately seek the truth about God and about ultimate value in life. And you know what? God works both ways to bring people to himself. God says this in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 1. He says, "I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me." That's the man finding the treasure hidden in the field. But then God also says this, Jeremiah 29, 13. "You will seek me and find me when? When you seek me with all your heart." That's the merchant seeking for fine pearls. But whether a person is looking for God or not, We are all looking for ultimate value in life. We are all looking for that meaning and purpose which ultimately satisfies. Now, unfortunately, many of us are looking in all the wrong places, but we're looking just the same. So that's what the first part of the story is all about, the search for ultimate value in life. And then the second part of the story has to do with the pearl of great price, as we often call it. Now, remember, the merchant was originally looking for what? He was looking for many pearls of great value. He was looking for many pearls to add to his collection, right? But instead, what did he find? He found one pearl of the greatest value. He found this pearl. This was the granddaddy of all pearls. This was the pearl of all pearls, the best of them all. Magnificent, beautiful, of the highest quality, unequaled, unrivaled, incomparable, matchless, superior, supreme. He was looking for pearls when he found the pearl of great price. And once he saw it, he said, I've got to have this. I've got to make this my own. And that brings us to the third part of the story, which in this case is identical to the third part of the parable of the treasure. It focuses on total commitment. And just like the man who found the treasure in the field sold all he had in order to buy the field, so the merchant in this parable sells everything he has in order to buy the one pearl above all pearls. Notice he sells everything he has. He doesn't sell just the pearls he's already purchased. Okay, they're included, right? But he sells everything else as well. No cost was too great for him to obtain the pearl of great price. And Jesus says, folks, that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like that. You know, the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament says something similar to this parable, but instead of with regard to the kingdom, with regard to wisdom. We read this in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 7 to 9. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Esteem her and she will exalt you. Embrace her and she will honor you. She will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor. Why does the book of Proverbs say spend everything you have on wisdom? Why? Because it is worth it. And you know, wisdom in the Bible is very similar to the kingdom of God. What does the kingdom of God refer to? We've said the kingdom of God refers to submitting to God's rule in your life. What does wisdom refer to? Wisdom refers to knowing God, following God, knowing God's ways, following God's ways, submitting to God's rule in your life. Nothing you have is worth more than that. Knowing God through Jesus will completely change your life. You will be a new person. And so, though it cost all you have, get wisdom, get understanding, get Jesus, because nothing is more important or valuable in life. God and Jesus are worthy of your best. God alone is worth the total commitment of your life. So we've looked at these two parables, these twin parables of the treasure and the pearl, and now I want us to look at three applications of these parables as we close this morning. Three applications. The first application has to do with the joy of salvation. The joy of salvation. King David prayed in Psalm 51, verse 12, he said, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." God says in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, he says, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." There is no greater joy in life than the joy of salvation. The joy of knowing Jesus as your Savior. The joy of knowing God as your Father through Jesus, his Son. You know, people sometimes talk about sacrificing for God and his kingdom. Yeah, we really have to sacrifice for God. But you know what? There's no sacrifice. There's no sacrifice even in giving everything up for God, because you get so much back in return. Right? In the parables, right? Neither of these men in these parables, neither of them regretted their choice, right? Of giving up everything for the treasure or for the pearl. No, they were filled with joy at the prospect. Every sacrifice you make for God is fully repaid with the joy of knowing and serving God first and foremost above everything else in your life. When God truly reveals himself to you through Christ, there is a joyful, spontaneous abandonment of self and sin for Christ and the gospel. That is the joy of salvation. And then a second application from our parables this morning has to do with the overwhelming importance of eternal life. The overwhelming importance of eternal life. Jesus said this in Matthew 16. He said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be if a man gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? There's a paradox at play here, right? Salvation is the free gift of God, and yet it costs you everything that you have. Why? Because it's worth it. What good will it do if you gain the whole world but you lose your soul? What could be more important than obtaining the free gift of eternal life? You've heard the saying, eternity's long. So don't be wrong. This life is all too short compared to eternity. Missionary Jim Elliot, we actually looked at him a few weeks back in our Wednesday night online Vespers looking at missionaries. Jim Elliot once wrote this. He wrote, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And Jim Elliot not only spoke those words, wrote those words, he lived out those words in his life as he gave his life for the gospel and to bring the gospel to those who had never heard it. Nothing in this world could be more important, folks, than eternal life. It is worth letting go of everything else, in order to gain life. So our three applications, we've looked at the joy of salvation, we've looked at the overwhelming importance of eternal life, and then our third and final application this morning is simply this, the surpassing greatness of Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God, and God comes first. We read this in Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. We read in Psalm 73, verse 25, whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, he says, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the eternal Son of God who died on the cross for your sins to be your Savior. He is the beautiful one. He is the magnificent one. He is the treasure hidden in the field. He is the pearl of great price. Nothing compares to the surpassing greatness of Jesus Christ. Both of our parables this morning stress the value of the kingdom. It's worth any sacrifice. They both also stress the cost of the kingdom. Following Jesus will cost you everything you have. But let's face it, seeking anything other than Jesus in life, that's just trivial pursuits, folks, okay? Jesus alone is worth your total commitment, your life, your everything, your all. And here's the problem. We are tempted every day. We are tempted to trade eternal joys for worldly pleasures. Some people never come to Jesus because they don't want to give up the things of this world. But nothing is more important than the kingdom of God. Nothing is more important than entering the kingdom of God. Only Jesus can bring you into the kingdom. And therefore, nothing is more important than Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God who opened the way for you to return to God your Creator. He is the one thing necessary. There is nothing greater than knowing God through Jesus who died for you to bring you into God's kingdom. Amen? Let's pray. Well, dear Lord, we thank you once again for these beautiful parables. Lord, you really laid it all out on the line for us here, the challenge of total commitment. But Lord, it is worth it all. It is worth everything to follow you. There's no joy like the joy of knowing you. There's no life like the assurance of eternal life, which begins now and will extend into all of eternity in your presence. Oh, Lord Jesus, you are the King of Kings. Your name is above all names. We worship you. Thank you, Lord, for these parables. May we bury them deep in our hearts. And Holy Spirit, teach us the truth and the value of the kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.